This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the county result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So, the only thing left to say is, are you in? Order now on the McDonald's app. And you can also get reward points delivered too. So that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus. Rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com. That tastes champion, that does. Hello and welcome to a Champions Edition of the Scarf Bergara War. How are you doing, Waggy?
Cheers. I'll do.
How are you feeling?
Oh, champion, mate. Champion.
Champion. Let's see how many times we can get the word champion into tonight's show.
I'll put it a couple of times underneath. So.
Oh, yeah, champion. Yeah, I like it. For the audio listeners, he's got it on his screen, champions, ole, ole. Excellent. Right, there's no better place to start. Let's just get our guests out. We've got a fan guest tonight. He's been on before. He's Andy from the Cheedland. And we're delighted to be joined by, for this special Champions edition of the Scarf Bergara War, by Sam Byrne and Liam Richardson. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to give them their own intro. So we'll get them out dead quick, but they can all have their own intro because they all deserve it because they're all mega legends. Here we go.
Gleeson! It's a cracker! Stephen Gleeson!
Hey up, Andy. Found the show. You're having a rave with us. Champions rave.
Put my scarf on. It's coming off in a minute.
Chilly in yours. Is it chilly in yours?
About 100 degrees plus the hangover. It's not helping the hangover at all. So it's nice to be put in the same bracket as Sam Byrne and Liam as legend, though. I'll take that.
Yeah.
I know we pronounced your bit wrong. It was leg end.
Yeah. At least I can spell my name right this time, anyway.
Yeah, Waggy's gone early with the dad jokes. Nice one, Waggy.
Oh, yes.
I'm
all relaxed this week. Strangely.
Yeah. you just sit back and relax, mate. Right, Andy from the Cheedland, not the Chedland, or whatever you had before.
Cheddle.
Very quickly, your questions. When was your first match?
I don't know the year, but it was QPR. No, sorry. It's the West. Sorry, apologies. No, it was the West Ham game, the Ian Dowie goal.
That was your first match?
First match, yeah.
Wow.
That's a not bad. I mean, that's a good one. You come a bit late to the party, but that's a good one. I like it. Okay.
Well, I did say, though, I was a United fan, wasn't I, up until a certain age?
Yeah, I'm not having that. See you later, mate. only joking.
Oh, you're a bit giddy tonight, aren't you?
I know. I haven't had a drink yet.
He's got his orange squash and he's happy.
Do you know what? All it is it's just orangeade. That's all it is for now. Like I say, it's on its way. Right. So favorite player then, or favorite ever player?
Chris Marsden.
Strong choice. And favorite game.
Favorite game. We were chatting about this last night, and I've got so many. Main Road being one of them. You know, the 2-1 win at Main Road. But the one that sticks completely out of just for the whole occasion was Nuneaton. It was just brilliant, you know.
Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah, from start to finish, the whole day. Good one. Cool. Right. So that people don't get confused, we'll get Sam out first so everybody can see who that is and hear who that is. And then we'll have we'll get Liam out, obviously.
Is this where you do a waggy and cut me off and I go now?
is that what happened? Yeah, I'm back.
No, not at all.
Don't worry, everybody. I'm back.
Fired in the morning.
I'm back to save it. But just before we do, though, yeah, they are going to be in the same room. We've got comments on that already. And thank you to everybody that's tuned in already. All the usual names. There's actually too many to mention now. So cheers to everybody. If you haven't subscribed, please do. Okay, let's get Sam Byrne out.
Flicked on by Armstrong. Oh, it's an on goal. An astonishing one as well by Gary. Well, that's incredible.
Evening, Sam Byrne.
Evening, gentlemen. How are we?
All right. Yourself?
Yeah, awesome. Buzzing. Thanks. Buzzing, yeah.
Good stuff. Yeah. What time did you get to bed last night?
Not too late, to be fair. I think I was through the door at about 12:30. Myself and Liam did wonder if there was somewhere we could get out for a Swifty on the way home, but sadly it was a bit too late, so we had to wait until tonight.
Nice. Well, glad you've agreed to spend your evening with us, or at least part of it. So yeah, feel privileged. Cheers, mate.
Always.
Good stuff. Right. So you've seen Sam and you've heard him. So now let's get out Liam Richardson, and this will prove that they are two separate people. Hello, Liam Richardson.
How are we?
I'm feeling champion. I don't know about everybody else.
I'm champion.
Yeah. What I'll do, because there's five of us and it's more than usual, what I'll do, I've got some questions. So what I'll do, we'll just go around the room with the questions. And the questions refer to, obviously, winning the league, winning promotion, and the season we've just had. And that's pretty much it. We're just going to reminisce and celebrate and pick out our best players and things on what has been an absolutely amazing season. I don't know about you, and here's the first question. I was nearly crying last night. There was a tear in my eye. I don't even cry at funerals, but there was a tear in my eye last night. So let's go to Waggy first. I know you're probably relaxed about because you're not doing anything tonight, and I've got all the buttons, and you're quite happy. How did it go for you last night, mate? And we'll go around the room and chat. Put in the chat as well. Everybody, just put in the chat your feelings about last night and what you were how you saw it.
It was brilliant, wasn't it? It was just superb from the get go. The singing, the atmosphere, and everything that we created was just absolutely superb. And all the videos that you've seen, it's just the crowd was just absolutely amazing. And again, the early goal just really calmed everybody down. I think looking back, you look on the highlights, that's the loudest cheer was the first goal, and probably closely followed by the fifth goal. Because I think that the jeopardy that 4-0 up cruising and we let them back in 4-2, and we're all just like, oh, here we go. It's not County without jeopardy. You know, a lot of people have said that. And then that fifth goal just completely settled it down, and what a celebration after the game, and just what a club for a DC to come across and get the flag, Dave Thompson's flag, put that out. It's just absolutely class. Just everything about it was brilliant. And then I drove home, dropped people off in Stockport, drove back to Liverpool, and then cracked a bottle of whiskey and went to bed at 3:30. Very, very happy.
Nice. Andy, what about you? We'll do it from our end, and then we'll go to the media lads.
Oh. That means he's getting a beer.
Oh, that means getting a beer. So do I have to carry on talking?
Yeah, you can carry on talking, yeah.
To be fair, he drove me yesterday as well, so nearly 48 hours with me. That's probably why he's done one. He don't want to hear my voice. I just thought it was brilliant. Obviously, as I said previously on the show, I'm all about the atmosphere. I'm probably one of the loudest people there, as Russ probably knows. I try and get the crowd going, and I asked a few mates, what was it like? Have they got any videos and what have you? And I think you put a few videos on there today, Sam, didn't you? And the noise was just electric. You could, that noise and that atmosphere does put a teardrop in your eye. It just amazing to see. And when that first goal went in, just that massive relief was just overwhelming. It really was. And I think we were talking as well, weren't we? I think when it was 4-2, we were saying that the next goal is crucial. Yeah. And then it just happened to be us as well. So just absolutely amazing. It's still not sunk in yet, to be honest. I don't know whether that's the hangover or just the realism or what. So, but yeah, just absolutely amazing. Brilliant.
Nice one. Okay, let's go to Liam. How did you see it? Because you were probably in the commentary box, were you?
Yeah, me and John on commentary. The fans were, obviously we were on the other side of the pitch to the fans, but the fans were incredible. Notts fans, to be fair to them, were in good voice for most of the game, but obviously completely drowned out by the just under 2,000 fans on the day. In terms of the game, I mean, obviously the first half an hour, they had a lot of the ball. They missed that big chance on 10 minutes, but I think anyone that's watched Notts County this season would have known that at some point in the game that they were going to drop an absolute stinker at the back like they did for the first goal, because that's what they've done all season long. I think there's a fan account out there that's put together a compilation of the goals they've let in this season.
Yeah,
I've never known a team like it that shoots themselves in the foot as often as they do. So I think from that moment on, as soon as we got that first goal, there was only ever going to be one winner, even at 4-2.
Yeah, but even Charlie said though, didn't he? It was probably you who interviewed him, Liam. He said he was getting nervous at 4-2. Did he say actually that he was going to walk down the tunnel? Is that something that he normally does and just walk out? Or
he goes to the toilet.
Oh, right, fair enough.
Yeah. Usually at key moments in the game, but yeah, he often goes off to the dressing room for a call of nature. So yeah, he actually missed the fifth goal. A nervous bladder maybe, I don't know. But it was similar at Colchester. As soon as Ben saved the penalty, off he pops, off he went down the tunnel again. So, it was... I mean, I got a bit emotional at the end of the game, which then set John Kieran off. He started crying. And yeah, it just below us, we had Steve Bellis and all the directors that were there as well. Simon Wilson, Alex Cowdy, all those kind of people that have worked so hard the last couple of years. So yeah, it got a bit teary up there for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
I was Dave's back after John Kieran jumped him.
I'm more worried about his knees, to be honest, after those knee slides. No, yeah, I think he might have regretted that further down the line. But he was raging as well, because by the time he got back to the dressing room, the only beers that were left were Budweiser. He was fuming. Dave Conlon was there on the Madry, and he's got a warm Budweiser. So he was fuming.
So what happened there then? I missed that. What? John Kieran jumped on Dave Challenger's back?
I don't know, somebody posted a video and Dave Challenger's in the middle of the pitch and John Kieran runs up to him and literally jumps on him and goes around him and, you know, like hugging him for getting promoted and for winning the championship. So it's quite funny. So,
right. Yeah. All right, okay.
So I was asking about his back.
Can you describe it as like a baby koala?
Yeah, nice one. Sam, what was it like in the press box? What was the mood?
To be honest, I was kind of back row last night. It's such a big press box at Notts that me and Gareth Evans were on the back row, and we had just kind of had the sight in front of us of John and Liam on comms and Sam Minihan on BBC comms next to John, which obviously looked like someone had put a mirror just right down the middle of John. But yeah, so we just kind of had a view of all that unfolding, really, and you know, the screaming going on from John or BBC guys or Liam. But yeah, it was just I mean, the game speaks for itself, doesn't it? And I know at halftime, me and Liam and John in the press room were saying, I think it was 3-0 at halftime, saying like, if one team can come back and bite us, it's Notts County, because you know the amount of goals that they score and chances that they create. And yeah, I mean, it was always going to be one way with Stockport County, wasn't it? It's no matter how good we get, like we can take this journey right to the Premier League, we will always somehow find a way to make it very Stockport County-fied. But yeah, we had that little bit of jeopardy that I know some fans enjoy. We weren't enjoying it at the time, but yeah, just unreal night.
Yeah, I mean, if you enjoy the jeopardy, then you're just a sick bastard, basically, aren't you? I mean, that's my opinion. Because
on Saturday, I mean, we had people in the pub saying, "Oh yeah, I hope we draw the next two games and then go and win it at Wrexham."
No.
Oh, no.
You absolute sado. that's my actual like full nightmare. That's the biggest thing when we sort of got to the point of, you know, we can get promoted or we can win the championship, is having to try and go to Wrexham and having to get something there. That was absolutely filled me with dread. After, you know, yeah. it's just one of them things, isn't it? We're not going to get anything there. And thankfully, I don't care if we get beat 6-0.
Yeah, I'm glad it's just a meaningful, nothing game other than that Guard of Honour. That's it.
Yeah.
If it unfolds.
Well, it would just be Disney, though, won't it? They won't do it just for the drama.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we saw what the players think of it with Sars's social media post earlier today that, I think something on to you, according to Liam. I know a few fans have spotted it, with Sars pointing out that I think, what do we say, there'll be a trophy lift this weekend and a few salutes next weekend. Yeah, so you can tell. I think especially the lads that were in the team and in the squad for the National League title race, I think there's probably lads in that dressing room like Ibi Touré and Louis Barry thinking, what on earth are you all going on about? You know, the ones that were in there for that title race a couple of years ago will definitely enjoy the day, I think.
And on the Wrexham match then, it's sportsmanship dictates that they should give us a guard of honour, doesn't it? Whether they do or they don't, it remains to be seen. Are the lads, I don't know if you know this, but are the lads expecting a guard of honour? Are they chomping at the bit for one, or is it just like they're not really bothered?
I mean, it's etiquette, isn't it? But to do that, we obviously did it for Leyton Orient last season. I'm sure they'd enjoy it if it happened, because obviously it was a very competitive rivalry in the National League for the title. It's felt similar this season. For me, if they don't do it, that kind of suggests that we've got under the skin a little bit, and they may even enjoy that even more. I don't know, but we'll wait and see. I think the main thing is going there as champions, and I'm sure our fans will be reminding everyone of that on the day.
I'm not sure which one more now, the guard of honour or that they don't do it, just so we know we're not under the skin.
Win-win. Well, it's a win-win situation for us.
Yeah, definitely it's a win-win, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. So on to the game last night then. I mean, I personally was thinking it'd be a high-scoring game, but I thought we'd win it narrowly. That's what I said on the various press things that I get to do. But it just wasn't that at all, was it? It felt like they did what they did at Edgeley Park. They kept the ball in the defensive and middle thirds without actually doing anything with it. And we kind of played it to a T, didn't we? Is that how you lads saw it?
Yeah, definitely. We just pressed them, didn't we? When it changed to get them two goals, they changed from their style of trying to pass it around and you know, look for the ball and stuff. But I mean, straight from Watts at the front, Watts did an unbelievable job of pressing them and closing down on the keeper. And you could just see everybody else moving up around him and stuff. And they just didn't have anywhere to go. And we were, as Liam said, we know that they've got a mistake in them. So if we just kept that high press, there was nothing that they could do. When they changed, they brought the three subs on and made the changes, and they just basically went more direct at us. And I think that caught us by surprise. That's the way that I seen it. But yeah, we were absolutely superb that first half. There was never going to be anybody else winning it apart from us.
Andy, should we come to you next? Or were you too pissed? Did you see the match? I know you stood next to me, but
I spent half the game. We were back to the match, trying to get our side of the crowd going.
You were that guy, weren't you?
I was. I am that guy every game, though, to be fair. So trying to get the upper tier four lot going, you know. But I always say that you should have to pick like the 10 loudest people and sit them at all different corners of Cheveland and get the atmosphere going in one, you know, tandem together rather than half of it singing one song, half of it singing another song. So, but yeah, pretty much what Waggy said. They just came to do what they did when they came to our place. But the difference is we just didn't let them, we just didn't give them a chance. I didn't even know that they'd scored at that point. So I didn't, so when they scored the second, I didn't realize. I looked at the scoreboard. I was like, I turned around to Ian and you was like, I'm going to wait, when did they score the first one? So that must have been a back to the game moment.
You see, Liam, Sam, you must miss all this. You know, getting pissed and not remembering the game. You must miss that.
Yeah, we do it the other way around now. Yeah. I do think, to be fair, like not so much what Andy was saying, but I think that it obviously works both ways. Like, you don't get the fan, you know, the enjoyment of a fan out of it as much as we would have done before we started doing this. But at the same time, we probably, you know, I do think sometimes if we're sat in the Albert after a home game and someone comes up to us absolutely steaming, usually my dad or someone like that, to be fair, and starts giving their insight about how good, or you know, before we started playing so well and having all its success, it'd usually be about how bad someone had played or something like that. And you kind of think, well, you know, with the greatest respect, how much have you seen? Because you know, I know, like, I've got like friends and family who, I remember the Bolton FA Cup game, the 2-2 and the 5-3. And I think between those, 12 goals, I think we saw two or three of them across the two games because of, you know, they're off to the bar or the, like you say, you're just doing things that football fans do, and you don't always catch like the whole game, do you? And you don't yeah, always see. And equally, there is a lot of football fans that are, you know, very knowledgeable. I'm not putting this across as any sort of, you know, patronising or anything like that. I know there's a lot that are very clued up.
We're not all like Andy.
Yeah, there's not an Albert or my house. Yeah.
Any shout-outs for any particular performances last night? I mean, for me, there was loads, but Lemon Hay Evans, I think Charlie mentioned it in his post-match that they had to move Jody Jones to the other side because he'd done a number on him. He was brilliant. And that pass from Powell when he nutmegged their left-back or whatever it was and set Evans free was just, I mean, that was just spunky, wasn't it? I mean, there's no other way to describe it.
Yeah, I think Pauly and Sars were both really good, but then, yeah, Connor, exceptional. I mean, I think, obviously, he's been playing right wing-back, and I suppose if you compare it to the National League title-winning season, he's essentially been the Elliot newbie in terms of coming back and playing in those kind of positions, and a better version, but doing a really good job. And, yeah, it's probably his best performance, really, for us, I thought, on Tuesday night, in terms of, obviously, George Jones just won League Two Player of the Year and didn't really get a kick.
Yeah. Absolutely, yeah. He didn't look like the League Two Player of the Year, did he? I mean, he was good, more so when he moved to the other side. Loads of comments coming through.
He did the same thing every time. He was like out wide and then just sort of cut inside, and we just didn't seem to be able to. Once he went on that side, yeah. I mean, before that, I think the fourth official must have had a word with Lemon Evans and said, Can you take him out of your back pocket? We need to put him on the other side of the pitch. He was just ridiculous, wasn't he? Lemony Evans just yeah. owned him.
Not sure why the fourth official would say that, but let's run it.
I didn't mean the manager.
I thought, considering he's got a bit of sticking recently, because I thought Kyle Wootton was really good as well. Like, the, you know, everything yeah. everything was just sticking when it went up. And I know Notts fans were commenting on how good he was as well. And, you know, maybe he was a bit more fired up for both, you know, the fact that it's a title winning game and the fact that he's going back to Notts, but I thought everything stuck with him when it hasn't done in recent weeks. He should have had a couple of goals.
Yeah.
You know, there was that one for the penalty, I think, where he tried to back heel it and I think the defender just got across and blocked it. But yeah, I thought he was really good.
Sorry, Sam, go on.
I know Notts' defence is obviously leaving a lot to be desired, but
yeah.
They are big physical boys, and he won a lot, and it stuck, and he was able to link the play as well really well. So I thought that's someone that's definitely going to have a part to play and an important part next season. you know, he'll have a full summer to really get his teeth into things, and I'm looking forward to seeing that next season.
Yeah, the weight of pass as well for the first goal.
Go on, sorry, Liam, you were going to
say. I was going to say, look, the weight of pass as well for the first goal. On the plate for Paddy as well. I know in terms of goal scoring, it's not been the best couple of months for Watts, but he set up the opener on Saturday and he set up the opener on Tuesday, so fair play to him.
Yeah.
There were still a few people getting on his back last night. I had a few murmurs around us, but I was just like, they must be watching a different game, because as I mentioned before, it was the pressing that he was doing and everything. It was all the stuff off the ball, not necessarily on the ball, that he was doing.
Even before the goal, he obviously won the ball back and the referee gave a free kick, was never a free kick in a million years. And there was another one where he almost won it back off the goalkeeper and ended up going out, just bouncing off him for a goal kick in the end. But yeah, he set the press really well on Tuesday.
Yeah. Go on, Andy, you were going to say something, mate.
I forgot. Hangover's kicked in again. it's like Sam was saying, he has had his critics over the last few weeks, but he was just unplayable last night. And I think for me, you can name that whole team last night for, I probably saw about 80% of it. But I just thought Powell, Sarcevic and Lemon Hay and Watts were the star players for me last night. And
the other one got a hat trick.
Yeah, I was going to say, Paddy, they might have been star players, but we've got a star man, haven't we? Monty 66 says, Paddy, freedom of Stockport. It's getting that way, isn't it? It's getting that way, definitely.
Yeah.
I mean, sorry, Andy, you, your turn, mate. You go.
No, you're right. I just put in whenever I want. how many off Tanto is he now?
He's overtook him for the season now.
Oh, was he?
Yeah. He's 22, not in the league, but in all competitions, he's got 22 now, Paddy. Tanto's got 21.
So, he's in the league, I think, Paddy, isn't he?
Tanto's
on 20.
Yeah. I spoke to Paddy the day before the Sutton game and said to him, oh, Pad, you know, you're 7 goals away from getting into the top 10 all-time county goal scorers. 10 days later, he'd got the 7 and he's there now. Well, unreal. Unreal.
Yeah.
You keep telling him how many goals he needs to get to the next place, and then we'll just bag him in, won't we?
Obviously, the big thing there with Paddy as well next season is, I think he's only 10 goals, 11 goals maybe off the League One record for the most League One goals scored. So that'll be something, knowing how Paddy operates, that'll be something that's well in his sights. He might be quiet about it, but he'll be more than aware that's there to go and get. So, yeah, that'll be interesting.
He just comes alive at the right time of the season, doesn't he? We had a joke last night, is that two-thirds of the season, we can just send him on holiday and just pay his wages and then just bring him back for the last third, because he always turns up and scores crucial goals and, you know, does things that Paddy does. He's just absolutely electric the last few weeks.
Because there was even those games where he wasn't starting every game, weren't there? You know, he was on the bench for a while and he just did what Paddy did. He didn't moan about it. He just, you know, always there, proper captain, led by example. And then when he came on, when he comes on, he just delivers. It's just brilliant.
That's it. He probably, you know, at the start of the season, obviously Louis and Tance were banging him in every week, and he kind of just accepted it, because if it was him doing that and he was their age, then he'd expect to be starting. But I think from around the Salford game in the Bristol Street Motors, where he's scored a hat trick, I just think from then on he's just been. He's worked his way back in, and I think Dave Challen has spoken a lot about relying on his experienced players in this back end of the season, and obviously he's number one in that regard.
Yeah,
and he's hard as nails, isn't he? Like, in terms of when was the last? I can't remember the touch wood. I don't want to tempt fate here, but when was the last time he was injured for a long period of time?
I think he's made the third most appearances for us in the league this season at 34. So.
And those ones he missed would have been because he was just on the bench because of Tanta and Barry, I presume.
Yeah, and then there's all the off the pitch stuff as well. The leadership, he's probably mentoring other players, is he? I guess there's probably a mentoring program.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you got Tanta and Louis. I mean, they're getting to learn from one of the best goal scorers that the EFL's seen for a long time. So yeah, happy days all around.
Luke Ashenden comes with a good question here, as he does most weeks. Can you see Paddy being a future county manager or just a manager?
He's doing his coaching badges, so I don't see why not. I mean, he's certainly been a great captain for the club, and it's those he's an intelligent footballer, isn't he, in terms of how he links up the player, drops deep. So that's the kind of player that you can see moving into coaching, moving into management. Or he may just want to, you know, go back to Ireland and drink Guinness for the rest of his life, he's earned it, if he does. So.
Big question then. I'll ask it to Sam. Do you think... I mean, I think it's an easy question, no brainer. But extra year for Paddy, get into League One, try and break that record.
Yeah, I think the way he's performed his entire county career, I think it's a no brainer in terms of the offer, isn't it? But you know, you get. And by the way, I don't know with Paddy Madden. I don't know is the answer. I don't know what's going to happen.
he's going in left, right, and centre.
But. In generally, you know, you kind of think back to we got Paddy, I think he was 31 at the time, and we were offering a 3-year deal, and he probably could have stayed at Fleetwood. So if it was to be the kind of situation where you're offering someone like Paddy a year, what do you do if you're Paddy Madden and you know, for example, I don't know, Chesterfield comes in and says, hey, it's 2 years or potentially even 3 years, someone that is able to be the club that we were 3 years ago. You know, Paddy, the status he's got at the club, you'd love to think that he'll, you know, it'll just be as it is for another season or a couple of seasons. And like I say, I've got absolutely no idea what will unfold over the summer. It's a no-brainer, like you say, in terms of that offer being made. But you've got those things to think about, haven't you? And that doesn't just extend to Paddy. There's, you know, Sars is another one getting to an age where if Club A is offering this and another lower league club that's able to throw around a lot of money, as we were doing when we brought these players in, if they're looking to offer longer term deals to players that are getting into the more advanced years in terms of the footballing career, they have decisions to make, don't they? And it's as much as they'll love Stockport County or they'll want to have a crack in League One and X, Y and Z, if you've got families and you've got kids and you've got livelihoods, and you know, if you're getting a 2 or 3 year deal versus a 1 year deal, if that was to be the situation, then there is decisions to be made all around, isn't there?
Yeah, well said.
Yeah.
Well said.
Yeah, agree.
Good stuff. Any other standouts? I'll go again. Ethan Pike obviously got his first goal for the club, which was the fifth goal, and that pretty much sealed the title, didn't it? And we have got a giveaway for a print. We've got loads of companies, by the way, contacting us to do giveaways. We've got about five to do. So that one of them will be an Ethan Pye print of his goal, and we'll be giving that away very soon. So look out for that. But yeah, Ethan Pye, what a moment that was. Andy, did you see that?
I did see that, yes.
What did you think of that goal, Andy?
I thought it was a brilliant goal. In my defence, I didn't see it, but it was the same moment where I tapped Russ on the back of the head to say, "Why aren't you singing?" And then that's when the ball went in. So
I was singing.
Well, not as loud as I was. So yeah, I've seen it back. Thanks, Liam, for putting it on the county feed before.
No worries. He's done well, hasn't he? He's almost on top of the defender as he's adjusting to header. So no class. Go on, Sam.
I absolutely love the fact that, given how pivotal our defence has been this season, that the goal to win us promotion, effectively seal promotion, is Fraser Horsfall, and the goal to seal a title is Ethan Pye. I think like that's just class. The fact that it's those two that, you know, Ethan's first goal for the club as well, and in front of the county fans at that end, and Fraser topping off, you know, getting into the team of the season and scoring his, what I think, second goal of the season to secure the promotion as well. I think that just the symmetry of that, is class.
I think it's brilliant. You know, if you think last year he was playing in the conference, you know, and just to be just thrown into that left centre back role. What age of 20 is he?
Yeah,
made it his own, gone out injured, come back. It was like when Horsfall was injured and then he came back. It's like they just, it's like they've not even been out of the team. He just went straight back doing exactly what they're doing before they're injured. Absolutely.
We looked so much more stable once Pye came back into that, into that defence, didn't we? The same as, like, say, when Horsfall was out and he came back. It just made that, him and Horsfall together are just a brilliant partnership. They've worked really, really well.
Yeah, also gave Torre that confidence as well, though, didn't it? Because as soon as Pye came back, Torre then stepped it up, you know, to the level that we got him for, you know. So, yeah, just brilliant for such a young lad as well. Is he out of contract? I presume he's...
No, there's an option to extend it and for a year.
I'm not asking for inside info.
No. I think we announced it when we announced his contract. It was a 2-year deal with an option to extend on the club side if we want to, which I'm sure they'll be in discussion with Ethan as they are with everyone else. But I don't think it's a coincidence that blip that we had in February March time was when he was out injured, and as soon as he came back in, I don't think we've not lost since he came back in. So
yeah, and on the flip, well, not the flip side, but on the similar vein to that, I know there's a lot of different choices for player of the season. Mine is Fraser, and the biggest kind of evidence you can point to is he's missed one game this season. We got beat 4-0 at Tranmere, for the best defence in the league to go and ship four at, you know, what has been a mid-table side this season. Just, and then the fact that he comes straight back in, I think he was still under the weather when he came back in at Gillingham on the Tuesday night, made his own way down there. The players had stayed over on the Monday. He travelled down on the day. I think Liam and I bumped into him at the services on his way down to the game. And we then go and keep a clean sheet at a tough place to go the Tuesday after. I think he's just, and I mentioned this on the commentary on Saturday when he scored, and at full time as well. You know, he was in the Northampton side that missed out when, I think it was at Bristol Rovers, won 7-0 on the final day to deny Northampton. So he misses out with that. He loses in the playoff for Northampton. If it comes to County, he loses in the playoff final with County. So then at the third time to get over the line, and like I say, to score the goal that seals it as well on Saturday. For me, he's been, I know Ben is Ben, but for me, if it was a choice between those two this particular season, it is a flip of a coin, but I think Fraser has been instrumental to that defence. And Ethan Pye has been so good, but to have Fraser next to him, to have a player who's played at this level for so long, it will have done him even better. So, yeah, I think it's just a win-win all round, really.
Yeah. Let's talk about the player of the year then and the team of the year. Someone has asked, are we doing that? We'd always plan to do that, so yeah, we'll do it now. You kind of just... reverberating what you just said there, because Pye was nominated for young player, wasn't he? Although he didn't get it. Horsfall was the only player of ours to feature in the team of the year. Obviously, Chally wasn't even nominated for manager of the year. I mean, it's 50-50 to me whether I'm surprised or not, because you can almost understand it in terms of players, because we've not had a settled side, or we've had loads of injuries. Nobody's really got into the rhythm apart from maybe Ben. But Okwonko, I think that's how you pronounce it, got in front of him. And I can kind of see why Challen has not been nominated as well, because of the investment we've had. I don't think Parkinson wasn't nominated either, was he? Or was he?
No. They do the voting for it in March, which I don't think helps, because at that point we were having our blip and Mansfield had gone top and looked like they were going to probably go on and win it. You know, Pete Ward's not been nominated, Scott Lindsay's not been nominated, you know, you can make an argument for them as well. I think the three nominations that they did pick looked strange at the time they got round to it, finally announcing it was the problem.
I can understand the team of the season. I mean, I think that Ben, you know, as you say, if it's voted up for in March, I mean, this was going to be my getting the reses, because how can you do the EFL awards in March when you've still not finished the season? You know what I mean? It's absolutely bonkers to me. But yeah, as you say, Fraser Horsfall has been our most consistent. We've not had enough players above that, behind that, have we? As you say, Paddy's the third most player and he's played 34 games. Everybody else has played less than that. Just shows how much of a massive injury issue that we've had this season. And I'm not surprised about that for the team of the season. I still think that Ben should have been the goalkeeper. And it's just ridiculous that we've not, that they do it then, and then they have the ceremony 2 weeks before the end of the season. It's just absolutely bonkers.
I do think there's like two arguments, isn't there? There's one that teams of the season at any level are just completely like redundant, because there's an argument of, well, the team of the season is the team that's won that division. That's the team of the season, literally. Or, you know, the manager of the season is literally the manager who's won the division.
Yeah.
But also, you know, like going back to last night, Jody Jones, unreal player, like the assists that he's racked up this season, you can't knock it. Like, you can't argue against that. So I see both sides of it. I do think they set themselves up to have, you know, County, Mansfield, Wrexham, fans of any club will be flooding replies going, how's this person not got in? How's that person not got in? So at some point, someone somewhere is not going to be happy. And in terms of the team of the season, the County side of things, like you were saying, Russ, A, we've not had the settled side. Normally, you'd expect certain players to be another shout for us. You know, Will Collar being a main one. But again, he's not played a lot this season, or certainly not enough to be in that kind of contention. The big one for me was Ben. I just thought Ben had to be in. I thought, yeah, you can see Okonkwo's gone into Wrexham and he's kept a fair amount of clean sheets in a fewer amount of games than Ben. Chelsea have won the title and Ben Hitchin is again going to be going for Golden Glove and likely to win it again. So Ben was a big one. I think you can make an argument for Ethan. Well, you can definitely make an argument for Ethan Pye, but you know, like I say, every side will have its fans saying, well, what about this person? And then if Pye gets in, you've got Mansfield fans saying, well, what about Aidan Flint? We've not conceded a lot of goals. And I do think the thing with County is we are undoubtedly the best team in the division, but we're the best team, like a collective group of players that maybe individually they're not the best players in their positions, but we are the best unit. And so if you're doing a divisional team of the season, then you can probably see why someone like Jody Jones or Macaulay Langstaff or X, Y, and Z get in over County players, because, you know, Odin Bailey, for example, absolutely pivotal to County this season, came in on deadline day and then played pretty much every minute of that 12-game run, winning run, I think. He's been so important to how County set up this season. But I mean, I absolutely love the guy, but Odin Bailey's never—he's not going to get in the League Two team this season, is he? Because he's not a player that grabs headlines or scores or assists lots of goals. Mm-hmm. But for what he's done for the title winners, if you'd have him in County's team every day of the week over someone who has got in team of the season. So it's very much an individuals award. They're just bunching 11 individuals into 11 spaces. And given that, you know, we're walking away at the end of the day with the league title, I don't think there's too much to get worked up about.
No. Claire Jeff says it here. It's a compliment. That's a team effort. Absolutely. Also, what it is, it's kind of giving the losers something to shout about, isn't it? You know, because we're top of the league and we've got the best squad. So let's just handpick some losers and make them feel better about themselves. That's another angle we could.
I'm greedy. I want it all.
The full 11 should have just been County players.
Full 11. Team effort. Top of the league. Won the league.
I mean, look, you can win the league and have one player in it like we do, or you can have two players in it like Notts do and be sat in 14th, 15th, because they're so reliant on those two players. So I know which one I'd rather have.
I feel like I've just been put down by Liam.
But then there's an argument then that, because if it's a team effort and it's a squad, if it's a squad thing, then surely Chelly gets manager of the year because he's managed that big squad and all those injuries.
I think Chelly's never going to get it, because even though for me he is the best manager in League Two, he's not going to get it because for outsiders they'll go, well, look at your budget and look at the money you spend. But if you look really deeply into it, you don't even have to look too deeply into it, the injuries that Dave Chandler's navigated this season and still come out with, what, I think we're 7 points clear at the minute with two to play. Like, that in itself is worthy of being at least in contention. Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm getting at, is we all know he's in contention. Just because the EFL put three names on a piece of paper, it, you know, it doesn't take away from any of the achievements that we know that we're talking about. But, I think it's how much you analyse it, isn't it? Because like you say, opposition fans in the blink of an eye can just say, well, no, he's not in because he spent a lot of money. Well, yeah, we've got a big budget, but and there's been a lot of investment, but the amount of injury, I know Mansfield fans have been big on Twitter that they've had so many injuries, and I know they have, but you know, County, it is mental, like the situation. I think at one point early new year, I remember listing them on Twitter, and it was just like, I genuinely don't think I could fit them in the word count on the character limit on Twitter.
You need to get a blue tick, mate. Gives you extra characters.
I know. If Elon Musk is watching this podcast by any chance, I'm sure he's slim a few quid in the way. But yeah, I just think, like, for me, Liam mentioned him. Even forget Dave Challoner, I just don't see that it can be Nigel Clough. I know Mansfield are out after so many years of trying, and I know they have had injuries. Whether it's more or less than us is to be debated, but for me, Scott Lindsay, Crawley. I mean, I don't know if Crawley have performed well this season just because I tipped them to go down, but everyone was tipping them to go down. And for them to be, I don't know if they're still lingering in the final playoff place or if they're in with a chance going into the final two. But, you know, and then what Liam says as well, the fact that it's decided in March, if it was decided now, then Doncaster Rovers would have players in contention, manager in contention, because they've gone from 20th to the playoffs being in their own hands. And if Doncaster get in them, the way they, how many times you see teams sneak in and then go and win it? Like, so it's not, you're not getting a picture of the whole season, are you? So it's, I see fans on Twitter, like I say, oh, this person should be in, this person should be in. Don't worry about it. Like, we know what play, we know that we're the team of the season, literally. And yeah, it's just like you say, I think it is just a bit of a consolation prize for, to kind of spread the joy a little bit.
Yeah. Good stuff. Quick question before we move on. A couple of people have asked this. What's the latest with Tanto? Because I know he wasn't even in the squad last night, was he?
I'll probably address it in my pre-match with Dave this week. It's just a little bit of a niggly knee injury. I don't think it's anything overly serious. I mean, we've got two games left this season anyway, so whether they'll risk him or not for those two games, I don't know, but it's certainly nothing to be overly concerned about.
Yeah, he was on crutches, wasn't he, everyone saw he was on crutches after Saturday, and I think that in itself is like, oh my God, he's on crutches. But we put on.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
Away days with County are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at Edgeley Park. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Into him. Yeah, John and I and Liam and a few others, after we left the ground, had bumped into him on the main road talking to fans, and he was openly sort of saying, I think he had the scan still coming up at that point. But he kind of said, like, yeah, at that time he said, oh, I'll probably be out on Tuesday. But he didn't seem sort of worried at all. I know Paddy mentioned in his post-match last night about him having a setback, and that, I don't know if John, I think John mentioned in the club's YouTube interview that you'll overtake Tanto in terms of maybe even goals overall. So I think he kind of hinted that, you know, whether it, like Liam says, there's two games left and we've now sewn it up, so is there any use in risking if it is something that can be exacerbated? So yeah, I don't know if it is something where we might not see him again this season, more just because of us getting it done. Maybe it's one of those where if we'd have stumbled last night, there might have been scope to try and get him back for the next two. So, and like I say, I'm sure, like Liam says, I'm sure Dave will follow up on it this weekend as well.
I did think Louis, when he came on Tuesday, to be fair, looked more at it. That obviously still getting up to speed a lot. But I know he missed the penalty. But I think he came on just after their second goal, and I think he quickly got us back on the front foot.
Yeah.
caused a lot of panic, caused a lot of chaos, which ultimately led to the penalty. So yeah, I think the promising signs there in terms of him getting back up to speed for the last two games, anyway.
Yeah, and he got the assist for Pye as well, didn't he? With the short corner. So yeah. I don't think anyone could begrudge him missing the penalty at all. You know, he's fresh back from an injury, a long-term injury. So it just gave us the heebie-jeebies a bit, didn't it? Because they just got two back. And then it's the
way it didn't go in as well. I mean, it's the inside of the post and gone across the face of the goal and gone wide of the other post. It was...
It was weird because Ollie Watkins did that the day before, didn't he? I think. Or was it Chelsea Villa on Sunday or Monday, I think. And he did the same. Not Chelsea Villa, that's Arsenal Villa.
Arsenal Villa, yeah.
Okay, I know it's not the end of the season yet, so I want to get your opinion on this. I think we know where Chelin is going with this, but Saturday and then the following Saturday, are we going to go for a maximum points haul? Because I think we've already broken our EFL record anyway. Are they going to try and set that, or is it going to be relaxed time? And play sort of, you know, spread the love around, because there's going to be some players that are on the cusp of getting a medal, I guess, in terms of appearances.
Yeah, I know Liam heard Dave mention this, and then I asked him last night as well as a bit of a follow up, and he basically said, well, he did say, he said, I've just said to the players in the dressing room, you show me, you tell me how these next few days are going to look in terms of, you know, celebrations and things like that, and then I'll pick a team accordingly. Which basically to me said, I know you're going to be in kind of party mode, but ultimately they're still going to be professional. And he actually mentioned Leighton Orient last season, where we went there and beat them 3-0, gave them a guard of honour, beat them 3-0, and then they had the trophy lift. And I mean, Orient fans at the time were saying it was fine, but I just felt when we were leaving the ground after County fans celebrating, it was kind of, that would be a bit flat. And Dave trying to mention that and said, you know, we don't want that. So... I mean, Wrexham might be a different story because, you know, they'll be on the piss all week, I assume. But, I think there's going to be an element of, like, wanting to come out in front of the fans and not have it be a damp squib. Not that it will be, but not risk any element of that at all. So, you know, the fact that County went to Orient, County needed a win to stay in with a chance of automatic promotion. You've got Accrington coming this weekend, who were... a bit all over the place, and I've got nothing to play for, and County are a much better side. So for me, I'm not too concerned about this Saturday. Like I say, next Saturday may be a different story.
Yeah. I mean, I want to get Waggy and Andy's opinions on this, but as a fan, and I know Liam and Sam are fans, but we're fans that go into the home end and the away end and all that kind of stuff. My personal opinion is this Saturday, they can do what they want. Happy days. Get all the celebrations going. In fact, we were discussing it in the car last night. Probably not even going to pay attention to the football, in all honesty. I'll be three sheets to the wind anyway at that point, I would guess. But then the Wrexham match next Saturday, someone just mentioned it in the comments, it's going to be a friendly. I don't want to go to Wrexham and lose, or the, you know, for the fans that went there, because I went there when we lost 3-0 and it was horrific. It was horrible. I hope they turn up for the Wrexham match. Waggy, Andy, are you with that, or are you not bothered?
Insane, obviously, because at the end of the day, the whole squad's played their own contribution throughout the whole season. So if the players that are on the fringe of the first team, they get to start on Saturday, then fair enough. They deserve it as much as everyone else does. You know, so again, I am bothered. I want the win. You know, I'd like to lift the trophy with a win. But I think the main focus will be the Wrexham. I'm not going, but I don't want to lose. I don't want to lose that game. I'd love to finish the season beating Wrexham. That would just be awesome.
Yeah, I think I don't want to... I prefer not to lose, as Sam said. I prefer not to lose on Saturday because we're lifting the trophy. So I'd like us to win it and have the trophy. The Wrexham game, I'm not going. I'm still... I want to win, but I won't be pissed off if we don't win. I think that's my feeling. I'd like us to go there and to beat them, just to say again, we've done the double over them. But I'm not particularly bothered if we win or lose there. That's my honest opinion.
I mean, you can flip it as well, because I think Chelly said post-match as well, you're also talking about the possibility of a county team that's just playing free without any pressure or without any, you know, anything like that. And that can actually be quite an exciting prospect, because we know what they're all capable of. I mean, I have a feeling Saturday will just be like, we'll get through on positive vibes and, you know, all that kind of thing. I don't think there'll be too much prep work going into it. But we've got into this position because the lads are winners, aren't they? So I'm sure they'll be taking it seriously.
Yeah, yeah. And any of those ones that are on the cusp of the team will want to come on and show what they can do as well. I don't know the stats. Are there any players that need to reach a certain threshold of games to get a medal?
Threshold? Five or ten?
I heard this earlier today. I think it's around the 10-game mark. Right. But the club can order more medals.
Oh, right, okay.
You get 25 player medals, but you're able to order more.
Right.
I imagine it'll go to the top 25 in terms of appearances. They'll get them on the day. And then other players that don't quite make that threshold will get them further down the line.
Right, okay. So Stotty's watching. Can you put your hand in your pocket for a change and order some more medals? That'd be nice.
Are you asking for one?
No, not for me. No. No, but it's an interesting question to say. Do you lads get one as well? Maybe Liam more than Sam, because Liam, you're on the staff, aren't you, Sam? You're not.
Yeah, no, it's you only get five for coaching staff and then you have to order more.
Oh, right, so, no, right.
It doesn't go as far as media. It should do, but it doesn't.
We need what we had in the previous two title wins where the players are steaming. I think the first time around we had Sam Walker and Brett Briall just handing out his medal, going, who wants a selfie, who wants to put this on for a picture? So, and then last time I know Liam was on, I think was it Connor Jennings or Paddy that had you on the shoulders the medals, yeah. So I think as long as we've got a few lads that are willing to spread the love and dish it out for a few selfies, I think we'll be all right.
Nice one. Last sort of point on this. I completely agree with Gaz Eccleston. Champions, they'll pretend they aren't bothered, but we've got one over on them. Yes, they will. And they've already started it. The Twitter war has already started with them saying, oh, we're not bothered. Well done. We're not bothered. Don't come to us. I'm sure there'll be a plane flying over. I'm sure that's something that will happen. It's cracking on now. It's 55 minutes already. Hope you're okay to stay for at least a little bit longer. Things to look forward to then. Not into next season. We'll come to that in a second. Things to look forward to. And I don't want you to give anything away if you know. And I know the season's not ended yet, so just tell me to piss off if you want to. But is there a tour planned for July? Anything like that? That must get planned pretty early, must it? Like, went to Spain last year.
Yeah, pre-season should be wrapped up. In terms of planning, in terms of the next week or so. So we'll be able to go out with more details then. Obviously, went to Pinatel last year. That was obviously a big success. I think they are looking at going away again this summer. Ideally, we want to be communicating that as soon as possible, because I think last season it was a bit too short notice for some people to get out there, obviously. Still got plenty of people out there, but we want to obviously build on that this year.
Yeah, absolutely.
Cool.
Yeah. Special champion shirt, is that something that we can look forward to? Did it for the last two?
I would imagine that there will be a range of championship merch coming at some point further down the line. It's nice to win it so far in advance and you can plan better for these things.
This is true. This is true. And I guess as well, I mean, we've been asked to ask this, but date for the parade, I mean, that's just going to come later, isn't it? It's just going to be something that's probably being planned now, I guess, this week by the staff.
Yeah, it would be after the last game of the season, because they won't do it before then, obviously, with games still to play. So,
yeah, fair enough. Right. I know we're not even there yet, but I wanted to get your opinion on this. And we'll start with Waggy and Andy. And I know it's not finalised yet, but League One next season, who are you looking forward to? Who are you looking forward to going away to or meeting?
It's got to be Blackpool. if they give us if the fixture gods are good and it's like, you know, the first game of the season, just go and get in the sun at Blackpool, then you can go out in Blackpool afterwards and stuff. I just think that's it's a great day out. I love it.
And get drunk and not see the match like Andy does.
not all matches.
I want to take John Kieran to Blackpool Pleasure Beach and watch him get turned away from all the rides.
You know what? That's one time I'll give up drinking just to see that.
Yeah. Right, John, the kiddies carousel's over there, mate. You go and ask me.
See him sat on the caterpillar or whatever it was called.
Blackpool away, fair dues. Andy, what about you, mate?
I've lost train of thought. Blackpool won, because me and Ian were talking that we might do like a sponsored walk and walk there and obviously watch the game and one or two drinks afterwards. It's not something finalised yet, but I'd like Sheffield Wednesday to come down. I just love going there. It's brilliant.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you go there in the League Cup earlier this season?
I did. I remember going, I said that when I was first on the pod, that I went when we played them in the FA Cup. Carboni scored an absolute worldie. And the noise that they generate there is just unbelievable. I just think it's brilliant. There's so many teams.
Yeah. Yeah. Before I come to Liam and Sam, that's one thing about going away, though, isn't it? Especially when it's a big ground. You almost like... It's a bit sadistic to say it, but you almost like want them to score so you can hear it. You know, it's weird, isn't it?
Obviously, you don't want to lose, but it's nice to hear that sort of atmosphere and that noise. It's just electric. The noise they make when they score is just unbelievable. We didn't really get to hear it in full voice at the League Cup, did we? Because it was like half the ground was empty sort of thing. But it's just a brilliant place. Wickham as well, you know, looking forward to going back there.
Yeah.
You could name half or all of them, couldn't you?
Derby, if they stay down, like so Reading, that's a, you know, I don't think we've been to Reading before. Have we to the Majeski or whatever it's called nowadays? Have we been there before? I don't think we've played there before.
I don't think we have, actually. We might have been to Elm Park, but we didn't go up into the new one.
So there is lots of really good teams and... Hopefully, as you say, a lot more bigger grounds and stuff, and it won't be as we won't have the same ticketing issues for away fans as that we've had the last sort of 2-3 seasons, because we're going to bigger grounds that give a lot more tickets to the away fans.
Yes, let's leave the ticketing situation. Yeah. That's for another pod.
Yeah.
For another pod. Liam, what about you? Where are you looking forward to going into the commentary box?
Me, Exeter away on a Tuesday night. Can't wait.
the enthusiasm.
I think personally for me, if they don't go up, I know we did it a couple of years ago, but Bolton, having grown up, gone to school with Bolton, got a lot of mates that are Bolton fans. So I think to go there in a league game would be quite satisfying, because a lot of the times when I was going to school, we were five divisions apart, four divisions apart, whatever. So it'd be very satisfying to go there for a league game.
Yeah, definitely. In terms of logistics then, I know this is a boring part of this podcast, but do you ever stay, if it was Exeter away, would you stay over or would you come back that night?
Oh, no, we'd definitely stay over. Yeah. If it's a Saturday game, it's a long one like that, we'll do the Friday. If it's a Tuesday game now, we'll stay over after the game, come back on a Wednesday.
So. Right. Fair do. Sam, what are you looking forward to?
Well, firstly, just touching on what Liam said about going into commentary boxes and stuff, I'm just going to say, the past two seasons, so this season and last season, myself and Liam have done commentary as a duo. So I imagine for some people listening, that's just one continuous voice all the way through. But anyway, because John Kieran's gone away at the start of the season the past 2 years. Right, so we came up to League Two. We had Barrow at home, Stevenage away. I think we went to Harrogate in the Carabao Cup. And there was probably someone else in there as well that we had to trek to and lose. And then this season, we had the Gillingham home defeat. I think we had Walsall away.
Sheffield Wednesday and Bradford.
Sheffield Wednesday and Bradford, yeah. So not successful games, and more often than not, like a proper trek to the middle of nowhere. John then comes back and picks it straight up for like Wrexham at home, and you know, all these like fancy games. So I'm fully expecting. I think John will be away at the start of next season, and I think it'll be myself and Liam that are picking it up again. So I'm fully expecting, first of all, that we're going to probably Exeter. Maybe if Plymouth come down, we'll end up there on Tuesday night, and then John will kind of just stroll back in and go to Bolton and Sheffield Wednesday and Wigan. So that's that. I lived in Huddersfield for 3 or 4 years at university, so I'd love Huddersfield to come down and go there, and it'd be a cracking away day for the fans as well. I remember the first away game when we went up, the first game of the season actually, when we went up from the playoffs in League Two last time, was Huddersfield at the start of the 2008-09 season, and that was unbelievable. Like, I think we got a 1-1 draw, and the amount of fans we had and the atmosphere, and you know, it's obviously quite an ale place, Huddersfield, so Yorkshire, that part of Yorkshire. So yeah, plenty of watering holes for county fans. Yeah, Huddersfield, I'd love them to come down. I don't know, Waggy mentioned it, but Reading, it would be a big one for me and my brother, who's a big county fan, living there. So he's lived there for about 10 years now. So I've been dragged to Reading a couple of times on away days this season, and last season we went to Orient and Swindon, and then kind of made our way back and stayed over there. So maybe a couple of random ones, but certainly for sort of family and friends and for the night out and the day out as well, I think they'd be crackers. But it's just good to be talking about proper away days again.
No, that's it. Isn't it? Yeah, proper away days. We won't talk about the Huddersfield away day in 2008, because it would have been one more person had I not been arrested on the way to the ground. Nothing violent. I was just nothing violent. I was picked out by West Yorkshire Police because they wanted to get the numbers up. The bloody West Yorkshire Police. So that's a story for another day. Good stuff. Good.
Where are you looking forward to, Russ? Did you mention anywhere?
I didn't. No, I mean, it'll properly hit me when the fixtures come out. That's what I will say. You know, with all the proper clubs, I say proper clubs, the bigger clubs. It's where we belong. And I get a bit nostalgic about it because of when we played last time we were there, kind of thing. And although some of those have gone now, like Oldham, I would love to have played Oldham back in League One, but obviously they're not there anymore. Phil Lloyd's drunk and disorderly. That's kind of what it was, yeah, but I wasn't being that disorderly. I think for me, I'm going to tick off ones that I've never been to before. So Bristol Rovers away is probably one that I'll pick out. I've got got to know the Fan Hub team, and they're based in Bristol. So I'll go and see them, and I've not done it before. So I think that's probably one for me. And then the usual ones, going back to Charlton would be good as well. Nice big ground in it. So
just big grounds with big away tickets. It's just, just going back, you know, just some of the ones this season, it's just been ridiculous, hasn't it? But
yeah.
I know this will split opinion because I've heard a few county fans that don't like it and say it's not a great place to go. But given that I've never seen us play them and I've never been there, I think Birmingham coming down, given that as well, when I was growing up, Birmingham were an established Premier League club. I think, and my future father-in-law is he's a massive County fan, but he follows Birmingham. So he's currently praying for them to stay up because he doesn't want the County Birmingham kind of head-to-head. But I'm all for it. I say get him down. Let's go to Birmingham and let's all make it awkward for him. So yeah, that'll be another big one.
Still go down as well, couldn't they? For a bit of
To be fair, there's about four or five teams that could get dragged into it, isn't there?
Anyone but Plymouth. That's all I ask.
First game of the season for you and Sam.
First game of the season, Exeter. Tuesday night game, Plymouth.
No, that means they would be able to stay down there. So it has to be like the week after, so they've got to come back and then go back down.
We had Leicester against Plymouth on Sky Friday last, and I ended up bumping into Liam and Steve Bellis and a few others in the pub on the Friday night, and they had Leicester on the box, and we didn't half get some strange looks in the middle of Edgeley about why we're cheering for Plymouth Argyle to beat Leicester. But obviously that pulled Plymouth away from the kind of relegation fight. They're still in it, but I think they'd struggle to go down now, even if they tried. So Yeah, I just think it's three really good trips and three really good fixtures that are coming down, regardless of who it ends up being.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah, Rotherham's not that bad, is he?
Well, I've just been sat by Rotherham, haven't I? And replaced by Steve Evans. So yeah, it's a
Liam Richardson binned off it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, good stuff. So finally, before we wrap up, moment of the season. And I know it's not the end of the season yet. There might be more moments to come, but I've got you here now, both Liam and Sam. I know, Waggy, you don't have to answer this if you don't want to. But what's, Andy, definitely you do. What's been your moment of the season this season?
If you can remember any. Because it'll be more fresher in their memories. And then I can just jog through my memory bank a little bit.
Okay, so go on, Liam.
We're not here till midnight, Andy.
Liam, if you had to pick one now, gun to your head, what would be your sort of favourite moment of the season in terms of county and the football?
I know it's a cop-out, but I've got two. In terms of importance, I think Paddy against Newport was such a big moment and such a big goal off the back of a difficult run, a run without scoring, and I think that was a big moment. And then the obvious one is probably the Louis Barry goal against Wrexham to put us 3-0 up. Obviously, you go on to win the game 5-0, but I think that was the moment where, obviously, we'd had that difficult start. We'd won away at Wimbledon and MK Dons.
Yeah.
I think that Wrexham game was the one where you really started to think, actually, yeah, here we go. Another day of challenge and run, and that we could go on and do it.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Sam, what about you?
I think the MK Dons home game was obviously the one where people thought, this is it now. I was away for that one, unfortunately. So I think, like Liam says, a bit of a cop-out, but there is a couple. I think the 5-0 Wrexham win, just as a whole, it was kind of an early blow against one of the rivals, one of the promotion rivals.
Yeah.
And it showed where we could get to and the level we could play at consistently. And I think that was early, well, it was definitely early into the 12-game winning run. I'm going more off just my favourite moments rather than like ones that I thought were important per se, but Colchester last Tuesday night with, I think it was 700 county fans there, just the, like, we all had a few beers afterwards. It was like we were there, but we weren't properly there, but we were basically there. And the capturing the moment at the end of the game between like the players and the travelling fans was one that, obviously, last night will be memorable forever, but we've actually won the title last night. Last Tuesday was more, we've put ourselves on the brink. We all know we've basically done it. And it was just kind of a release of like the emotion of the season between the players and the fans. And that was the first time, like, well, ever really, that I've seen a county side, like, they were all linking arms and just facing the away fans, and they were belting out the anthem, and it was just class. And I thought that was like, but now that Notts County's kind of trumped it, it fades away a little bit. But that was like the first moment that was like, that's setting us up for these next four or five games to get over the line. And it's the first memorable moment of hopefully four or five more that we'll still have this season. So yeah, last Tuesday was brilliant.
I've seen a few people mention it as well. Olden against Wimbledon. That was the moment for me after that game where I that was the first time I thought, we're there, it's done. That's got us over the line for me. Because we were dreadful that game. We were really bad. I think to get over the line in the manner that we did, that felt like it was done for me from that point.
Yeah, that was, I've got loads, obviously. But I think the Wimbledon goal, I actually screamed out a lung. It was just pure relief. You know, like Liam said, we were awful. We didn't play well at all, but it just went in at the right time, didn't it? The Wrexham was just absolutely brilliant. If I can pin it down to a goal, it would be Sarcevic's goal against Tranmere. I just thought it was a whole team effort, you know, with Wharton as well, that little flick that he did. I just thought, that for me, that was one of the best goals I've seen at Edgeley Park, you know, and there's been a lot, don't get me wrong. But just, yeah, brilliant. But I think for me, there's you know, you got the MK as well, which was just absolutely brilliant. No, you know, we're all expecting maybe 2-0, 2-1, but 5-0 was just absolutely brilliant. But that Wimbledon game, for how the game planned out. And yeah, my lungs still recovering from scoring.
Yeah.
Just to jump in, not so much a moment, but a game. Just I think it's worth mentioning because, you know, we may never see it again as County fans to beat a team 8-0. I know it was Sutton who were bottom of the league at the time. I was just about to mention what makes it even more hilarious is that we've just lost. I think we've just lost to Aldershot in the FA Cup on live on BBC, stunk out Edgeley Park with our performance. Challoner went ballistic. Liam went away for the Sutton 8-0. And I think, if I remember rightly, Liam, I think you remember you texting me at 20 past three saying you just got a signal somewhere in the middle of nowhere and checked your phone and saw that it was 4-0 and just wondered what on earth was going on. But just because, like I say, will us as County fans ever see us beat a team 8-0 in a competitive, you know, league fixture again? Maybe not. So, yeah, it was
probably next season when you and Liam are doing the first few games. John Kieran's away. John Kieran comes back. We score 10 goals and Paddy Madden gets all 10 and gets the moment of glory.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I mean, 100%. I was in holiday in Jamaica and I missed two games whilst I was over there, Aldershot and Sutton. I watched one of them. And you can probably figure out which one I watched and which one I didn't watch.
I don't know, you say everything that everybody said. I'm not going to say what my best one is because I think we're going to do that at the end of the season. But I think as well, I think the other good one was the Wimbledon away win, which was the start of the 12 game winning run, because we'd not looked convincing before that, and I think that was a real sort of, you know, we dug in and won, and then the next game against AK Dons. I thought that game against MK Dons, I thought they looked a really, really good side. And we beat them 2-1 and they just threw they threw everything at us, didn't they, for that last 20 minutes, and we just withstood it. So I think that was, you know, I think those two games, apart from the ones that everybody else has mentioned, I think them two sort of stick out as well for me.
I mean, even at half time in that Wimbledon game, we were 1-0 down. That was probably the first point in the season where I had a little bit of a wobble, because, you know, we'd been underperforming, and then you 1-0 down at half time, and then from the second half they just really turned it on.
The second time you got a wobble this season, Liam, was probably the Grimsby press box, wasn't it, where you took a tumble before the game and that's it. Yeah. Liam ended up in the medical room down underneath the stadium at Grimsby, and when we won that game at Grimsby with Liam coming out basically on a stretcher after the game, I thought, right, we're there. It's nothing else can top this sight.
I still did the commentary for it, didn't I? I mean, that's probably, you know, you talk about the bonuses of promotion and things you're looking forward to next season. Not going to fucking Grimsby would be right near the top of my list.
We have like one team a year, don't we? You know, it was, thank God we're not going to Brackley. Thank God we're not going to Chorley. But yeah, thank God we're not going to Grimsby again. Or Barrow. Yeah.
And listen, if I
don't jinx it with Barrow yet, because they may well come up Barrow on a Tuesday in October.
If I had to lose a leg to see us win at Grimsby, then it was well worth it.
Our friends at the Grimsby podcast say, look at us winning the league, grow up. Well, yeah.
Oh, they're turned off by now because we've not mentioned
it. Alex. I know, yeah, we're not mentioned. Turned off by now to watch it back, won't we?
I was going to say for you, Ross.
I've got a very personal favourite moment, and what I'll come to it in a second. But the first one was what Liam mentioned, the third goal against Wrexham. That felt like we're here. We're gonna do something this season, because once you go 3-0 up against Wrexham, which was pre-match was advertised to be like a really close game, wasn't it? You know, two of the favourites going head to head. So, but the special one for me was Swindon away when Odin Bailey scored his absolute thunder bastard. And I went with my lad, and he says it to this day, and he'll stay with him forever, that it's the best feeling he's ever had, because it was just limbs in the other end, and I lost him. We were celebrating that much. He went down three rows or something, and I lost him. I was like, where's me son? You know what I mean? And we had to sort of...
I assume you found him since.
Oh, yeah, found him.
He's still in Swindon.
He's 7 days later.
He's begging around the roundabouts.
that'll forever stick in my memory just for that little moment.
It was a screamer, and to be fair, Russ, I was actually going to mention that game because it felt big as well, didn't it? Like we were 1-0 yeah. down, then 2-1 down. It was, I think, was it late on in the winning run?
It
felt big that we, you know, we bounced back what three times to come back twice and then to go and win the game. And so I think we equalised, and then it was like bang bang. Bailey went and scored not long after, and with it being such a screamer as well, yeah, it was that felt like a big moment in the season to show that, yeah, we're winning games week after week, but we can actually also go away from home on a long trip and fall behind twice and have injuries and all that sort of thing and still bounce back. And yeah, it felt like a big one.
Yeah, it was a massive one. It was a massive one.
Yeah.
Right. Good stuff. Right. What we'll do now, chaps, is Liam, Sam, we'll let you go. And while we close out the show, thank you so much for coming on. Really appreciate it. Always a pleasure to talk to you. Appreciate your time.
Cheers, boys. Cheers, boys. Enjoy the party.
Will do. Cheers. See you later.
Cheers.
So, I hope we don't lose loads of viewers now they've gone, but we're back. let's close out the show. Just a bit of an announcement. The winner of the Ghost Prince, I've done that. It's Andy Halliwell. So I will contact Andy. I don't know if he's online or not, but I will contact him. He's the winner. As I say, we have got four other giveaways to do. So stick around for those. Penno Draws is one of those. What else have we got? We've got a Penno Draws giveaway. We have got a Masala giveaway. Not a Masala. It's not a curry. A Masala on Masala Designs on Twitter. Iconic Sporting Highlights and a GCI Messi Pixel Print Designs giveaway as well. So look out for those. We'll probably do our own giveaway by the time the season's out as well, just for shits and giggles, I guess, just to give something away. So, yeah, happy days. I just wanted to finish off really with you two and mention a few things. We're all out on Saturday. Everyone's going to be there on Saturday. Party atmosphere. Are we all out?
But there's a load of us that obviously been going for years, and we're going for something to eat afterwards and what have you. So yeah.
Oh, nice. Bit of a celebration afterwards. That's nice. Yeah, cool.
I'm out every game, so I don't need it. No, game,
so. Phil Lloyd says, will we be doing an event like we did after National League win? We're thinking of it. We're going to try and sort something out. Not sure yet, but we'll try something. Sam Jeffries is here. I am eight. Sam Jeffries, for those that don't know, when you see all of the really good artwork that comes out from our little channel, that is Sam Jeffries. He's a young graphic designer.
When it's a shit one, it's Russ.
Yeah, when it's a shit one, it's me. Yeah, okay, yeah. Okay, good stuff. Good stuff. Right. Any last words before we close out, lads?
No,
do you want to do get in the reses?
Yeah. Yeah,
go on then. Take it away.
Well, I don't have any. I'm too happy about the football. So my getting the reses is people with WhatsApp that remove that blue tick thing. It winds me right up.
Yeah, knobs, aren't they? Yeah.
You're definitely turning into the Waggy Rants. The last 2 weeks, you've been Andy Rants.
Do you know what? Right. If you're angling for not coming back on this podcast and not us, you know, not meeting.
No, we're past that, mate. You give me a lift to a football game.
League Two can get in the reses. That's one from Gazendo. Get in the reses. We'll read some out. Mason Littlewood. Debating whether to do a pitch invasion or not can get in the reses. Yes, it can. This is a really good get in the reses. Luke Ashenden as well. You need to subscribe, Luke. Come over and subscribe if you haven't already. The City Helmet, who said Edgeley Park was dead last night, he drove up to Edgeley Park.
Well,
like, you've just
You've just
apparently
won the league.
He was a taxi driver and he was dropping somebody off around Edgeley Park last night. That is what I'd seen that in one of his replies. But what a bellend. Why is he asked about Edgeley? You know, we're a plane away at Notts, so why is Edgeley Park going to be bouncing?
Because he's a
Bertie. I typed out a reply and then deleted and thought, no, he's just baiting. He's just baiting,
isn't he? Yeah.
Yeah.
He's a Bertie McBurke face, isn't he? That's what he is. Yes. He's probably watching City on the telly now. That's what you'll be doing.
I've seen loads on like Twitter like today, like just moaning about stuff. It's like just won the league. Who cares? Who cares?
Oh yeah, there was another one that commented on Paddy, wasn't there? Won the league again. And he replied with, again, what do you mean again? Well, we've won another league. So that means we've won more than one. So that means we've won it again. Which bit don't you understand?
God, yeah. What was it, the one I saw? I can't think of it. Anyway, that's not my resident is the blue ticks, Russ.
Yours is the tits.
Ticks.
Oh, the ticks. Oh, right. I thought you meant your resident was the best. Sorry.
That's a different show.
Yeah, it's a different podcast, isn't it? Ollie Wrigley. I think you do some... Yeah, he does. He does the odd graphic for us as well, Oliver, I think. Sideways rain can get in the resident. Yes, it can. There wasn't any there last night, though. This is very niche. The Boonab, people who call footy shirts jerseys can get in the rezzers. Jesus. It's a bit of an American thing, that, isn't it?
That's got to be American, hasn't it? Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think, I think he did this as a bit of a wind up for me for getting the rezzers. Was the Notts County announcer was when he announced the attendance last night. He said 11,000, so many fans, and 1,900 and so and so from Manchester. So that I think there's a few people that have commented on that, but yeah, that can get in the rezzers. And the Daily Mail can get in the rezzers as well.
Yes.
And seen that, you know, we've denied Wrexham the Hollywood finish when they've not even been top once a single time this season. Haven't Sutton been top more than Wrexham this season? Weren't Sutton top first game or something like that?
Oh, that's a good stat.
Yeah,
nice.
I think I'd seen that. They were top like first game or something like that. Because yeah, didn't they beat Wrexham something like 4-5-0? So they were top for the first game.
Yeah.
So yeah. So that shit like that. As you say, it's not Wrexham that people hate. It's the media coverage of Wrexham that people hate.
Yeah, I agree. I don't mind that they've gone up with us. I quite like this new rivalry we've got.
Yeah.
It's not derby, but it's a new rivalry, and I like it. You know, but just the whole media around it. Like it was like after Saturday as well. There was like a 15-page article all about Wrexham. You know, and then right at the bottom was like two lines. Oh, also Stockport County top of the league got promoted. It's like, you know,
I listen.
We
to
ended like... the Hollywood, you know. Finish, you know, by winning the league that had been top off since October.
Yeah, I listened to Radio X, and on their sports news, they basically announced, they said, oh, and Wrexham have unbelievably been promoted to League One next year. It's like, right, okay, anybody else? anybody else in that league?
Yeah, there's that comment of the Grimsby fan, weren't there, saying, just out of curiosity, did Stockport go up? Because I'm not reading anything in the newspapers about it.
Fair play. I know Grimsby, we don't like going to Grimsby, but I've changed my mind about some of their fans. I quite like them.
They're on the same page
as us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think they have, obviously, because they beat Wrexham, didn't they, in the playoffs the season that we went up. And I think Wrexham, that really irks a lot of Wrexham fans. So anything that a Grimsby fan says just seems to wind them up, like no end, more than what we say. Just really seems to get under the skin.
Yeah. My getting the rest, by the way.
American Wrexham fans doing a watch along to our game.
That was the thing, wasn't it? Yeah, it was. Yeah.
Yeah. There were two of them that sat and watched our game and commented. I mean, I watched about 10 minutes of, well, in fact, no, I watched about 30 seconds of it, which was about the first hour's coverage. And I think there was, from that first hour, I didn't even realise that the game had kicked off. I was just skipping and just listening to little snippets that they were saying. And it was just like, yeah, so that can definitely get in the rezzers.
Yeah, absolutely it can. My get in the rezzers is channels that are not associated with Stockport County, do not have any interest in Stockport County, already starting to do items, vlogs, whatever, on how will Stockport survive in the next in League One.
Oh, yeah.
Like, from we're a not Bradford even finished the season yet. We're not even finished the season yet.
From a
Bradford it was, yeah. But there's probably going to be others as well.
But it's like that guy that's doing like the which team's going to get all the points. I said this to you last night, Russ, that, you know, he's picked out players for County, the targets that we could potentially sign, and they're all like three exactly. of them, I think, like from Carlisle, who've just been relegated.
Yeah, that's Tom Williams.
He's Tom Williams, yeah, the Notts fan. He said about we shouldn't have signed Matt Smith and Pellegrini. Yeah. Is it Pellegrini, whatever
then,
he's called?
Then you look at the Chesterfield one, and half of them are like top-end League One players, and you're like, well, hang on a minute,
Couple more getting the reses then. Oh, no, not getting the reses, but Black Arnold makes a good point. It's unfortunate for Wrexham as they have a proper club and have a proper fan base. And yes, they're the people that I like and I've kind of feel sorry for, because they're on a massive, exciting journey for them. But I think if the owners cut the cord, they'll be left with the £8,000 a day interest on that massive loan that the owners are putting on them. But we're not allowed to say that. Ian Dowden says, no, Russ Grimsby on the page below us now. Very well played. Touché and Ian. That is a very good point. Okay, let's wrap it up. All I wanted to say at the end of this show was, can you think back to 2005 when we sold, oh no, we bought Stockport County for £1 from the Sale Sharks guy. What was he called? Brian something.
Brian Kennedy.
Yeah, and then the Trust got hold of it and we managed to go up to League One. But then a massive tax bill came along that we'd not foreseen for something stupid. And I forget what his name now. I want to say Mark McCarthy or something like that. Someone will correct me. Didn't realise the tax bill. And that put us into administration. And that's when the wheels started to fall off. We went into administration, lost 10 points at the end of that League One season. We played Brighton on at the final day. We lost 1-0 away at Brighton. They finished above us. The very next season we went down. Then we went down again. We lost our academy. We lost our ground. Everything went to shit. We ended up in the National League North, semi-pro, part-time football, training on a Tuesday and Thursday night. So we'd lost all of that. Then 2015, Jim comes back. I think just slightly before that, Bellis and George Hudson come back as well. Them two, they should get medals and legend status with everybody else that's helping us get back up here. Mark Maguire, that's it. Thank you very much. Jimbo, massive respect. Got us motoring with players that wanted to play for the club. We've been to events where he says he handpicked them. He wanted players that he knew he could trust. And that started the rise up the leagues. National League North, champions in 2019. Then Jim did his best. Beyond that, COVID hit. Mark Stock took over just before that. And now we're seeing the fruits of our labour and all of us that stuck by us to get into now League One. I'm tearing up for you now. that's why I put the glasses on, because I knew I was going to say this and I knew I'd be crying. So we're back into League One where we started in 2009, when arguably we had a proper club, the last time we had a proper club, notwithstanding everything that's gone beyond it. We have got a Dark Day series as well, if you want to listen to that. And that goes into a minute detail with Dave Schofield and Phil Brennan. But we're back, boys. We're back in League One. And I'm having a party. League One. Yes, I don't care what happens now. Championship, Premier League, whatever. But we're back in League One.
Back where we want.
This is what we want, innit? So, on that note... play an old song. I'll leave you with this. See on Saturday, party time on Saturday, and let's do it. See you later. See you later.
Cheers. Thank you. Woo!
It's the 90th minute. All your mates around. You've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping, and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants. 18 plus. Serving times, delivery fee, and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.